today. We thank you for the light of your word, just as we've heard today, Father. The entrance of your word giveth light. And Father, today we thank you for the light of your word. May the Holy Spirit illuminate us, reveal Jesus to us, reveal the word to us in a mighty way today, Lord. And we look to you to do that, Lord. No one else can do that except you, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was thinking of when Brother Dan was sharing this morning, he talked about the light of God's word. Revelation was just packed. Amen. And I remember back about, 6-7 years ago, I was watching one of these travel channels or history. I think it was a history channel, actually. You know how on your television you got 800 some stations, you know, and there's about three things you can watch, you know. And so I was watching the History Channel, and there was a special they had on about Egypt, you know. And I'm a fan of, you know, when I was a kid, I may never said this before, I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a kid, you know. Well, I never lost that desire to, especially biblical archaeology, amen, to know our roots and, you know, not to convince me, but to confirm what we already believe anyway. Amen. And I saw this one show, and it was all about King Tut's tomb, okay, back in Egypt. I don't know if maybe you've seen this years ago. And, you know, Mr. Tut's been in that tomb for, what, 4,200 years, something like that? That's a long time, you know. Well, they found some scientists were able to break into his tomb and get in there. And I'm sure Mr. Tut didn't appreciate that, but they got into his tomb. And see, the mindset of the Egyptians back in those days was that you could take everything with you. You know what I'm saying? So they had all the possessions, gold, silver, you know, clothing items, jars of this thing and that thing, food and all this kind of stuff, you know. And but how many of you know that's not true? You can't take it with you. John Osteen used to say, I've seen a lot of funerals in my day, and I've seen a lot of hearse driving down the road, but I never saw a U-Haul truck behind it. Because they can't take it with them, amen? But anyway, make a long story short, they broke into his tomb, and of course they found a bunch of artifacts, and it was well preserved in there because it's free from the sunlight and the exposure to the air and so forth. And they found these jars, and they opened up these jars, these clay jars, and there was actually corn. The one had a bunch of corn seed in it, you know? And, 4,200 years old. That seed has been in that jar, that clay jar, for 4,200 years. Say, that's a long time. And it was in perfect condition. And they pulled it out, and some of the scientists said, you know what, we're going to plant some of this corn. And so they decided to plant that corn. And guess what happened? It grew. Now, how would you like to eat a piece of corn off of King Tut's tomb? You know what I'm saying? And the seed, the word of God is the seed. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23 that the word of God is called the incorruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen? Now, today, the word of God cannot be corrupted. It cannot be demolished. The word, the seed, is the word of God. And I want you to just open your hearts and your minds today, because God's word, his seed, is going to be planted in your life today, and it's going to bring forth fruit on your behalf. It's a marvelous thing. Amen? You know, why do some people get depressed at the Bible and other people get excited at the Bible? David said, I rejoice at thy word like one that findeth great spoil. So in other words, he got excited about it. Amen? Yet some people get sad about it, you know? Well, what's the difference? One believes it, the other don't. And if you believe the word of God, you can get excited about the word of God. Why? Because the word of God will produce every time. It's the incorruptible seed. It will produce every time. Amen? You know, when you believe the word of God concerning salvation, what happened? The seed of eternal life sprung up on the inside of you. Right? It worked. Well, the same seed, the same word of God is going to produce and work in you in every capacity of life. Praise the Lord. So in John 14, verse 27, We're talking about walking in God's peace, and I just want to share a few thoughts this morning on this. We're not going to keep you long. But in the Amplified Translation, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace, and I'll give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing," now look at this, "stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled." Now, how many of you like the Amplified Translation? I mean, that just spells it out, doesn't it? So that kind of expands, amplifies what the King James has said. But I really like this because he says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated, disturbed, and cowardly, and fearful, and so forth. Amen? And we talked about how that our responsibility, when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, the responsibility, whether that happens or not, is in our court. So if I have a troubled heart, a disturbed heart, an agitated heart, I can't blame Uncle Joe. Amen? Or Aunt Mary. I'm just throwing names out there. You understand? You know what I'm saying? I can't blame this person and that person and the school teacher and the fireman and the policeman, and I can't blame everybody else. But I got to take responsibility for myself, whether or not I'm going to have a troubled heart or not. Amen? And so we're talking about how to walk in God's peace. Now, we talked about how, in fact, while I'm saying that, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick again. I want to look at two verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How do you make it through tough times? Amen? Tough times will come and go, but tough people will last. Amen? Glory to God. We have to have, as I'm telling you, as believers, we got to have a certain toughness about us. Tender-hearted, but toughness. That we're not going to be moved by things. We're not going to be moved by circumstances. Amen? Praise the Lord. But in 2 Corinthians, we see that Paul the Apostle, and we know he went through some difficult situations. We saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he lists all the different things that he went through, being shipwrecked, snake-bitten, and beaten with rods. He was stoned a few times. He was beaten with a whip 39 times, 5 different times. I mean, he went through some stuff. But yet he wrote this particular scripture here in 2 Corinthians 4:16. For our light affliction, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that initially back in the day, I thought, Paul, you called what you went through a light affliction? What does that make me? You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of Christians get whipped when the red light stays too long. Are you with me now? But, you know, I don't know about you, but I've never been beaten with rods. Don't plan on it. I've never been lashed with whips. Have you? Okay. I've taken a few tongue lashings a few times. Amen. But I've never been beaten with rods and things like this. But Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. The reason that Paul called this a light affliction, in other words, the way that he was able to overcome and hold his peace and go through these severe tests and trials, was he said in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or we would say temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's the word of God. All right? So when we go through stuff, and we're talking about how to walk in God's peace, what you look at, Lamentations 3, verse 51, I think it is, says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Jeremiah said that because of the daughters of the city. So what we look at with our eyes will affect the condition of our hearts. There's a lot of stuff in the world that's going on. John Osteen, you know, Joel Osteen's father, used to say this, and I loved him, just a man of faith, man of God, you know, a pastor's pastor, you know. Man, did he have a pastor's heart. And he used to say, in a jokingly manner, but there was a serious part of it. He said, he goes, a lot of you in this congregation, and there's 10,000 there at the time. He said, a lot of you have been through these tests and trials and crisis that I never went through because you've been meditating on the 6 o'clock news. He goes, I decided to take a break from that for a while, you know. He goes, and I avoided this thing and that thing and that thing because they're releasing words. How many of you know that? They're releasing words into the atmosphere that produce fear, right? How many of you know, even with the last election, there was a lot of doubt and fear being thrown out there, right? Regardless of your political persuasion, okay? And the news media has a voice. People in this world have a voice, but that voice can either rob from us, and most of the time it does, but if we listen to God, He's going to put something inside of us that's going to build us up. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is a person? Do you? It's not a true question. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is a person? Yes. He's not an influence. He's not a cloud. He's not a thing. Okay? He's a person. Just like you and me. In the Holy Spirit, you can have an intimate relationship with Him because He is actually, even the Holy Spirit doesn't say anything on His own initiative. Jesus said when the Holy Ghost comes, He's not going to speak on His own authority or His own initiative. He goes, but whatever He hears the Father say, that's what He's going to say to you. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit who comes in us at the new birth, when He communicates to us and He talks to us, that's actually the Father giving Him the instruction because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a mind of His own to say, I think I'm going to do this today, and the Father's doing something else, and Jesus is doing something else. They're in unison, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If something's going to happen, they're all in unity about what's going to take place. Hallelujah. And that's why when Jesus said, it's more expedient for you that I go away, it's advantageous for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the same Comforter that's on the inside of me will not come to live on the inside of you. But if I depart, I'll send Him to you. Well, did Jesus leave? Yes, He left. But who did He send? He sent the Holy Spirit of God, who is a person. And that Holy Spirit is a real person. And you can communicate with Him. When you talk to the Lord, this, you're talking to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing. And one thing I've noticed about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about walking in God's peace, is having an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to you on a daily basis. Do you know God wants to talk to you every single day? Amen. Someone says, trick question. No. The Lord wants to talk to you and communicate with you every single day. Praise God. And I mean about the smallest little things you can imagine. That's what's so amazing to me about the Lord, is that He's just not so high and mighty that He's just trying to control and run the nations, but He doesn't have time for you. No, He has time for every little detail of your life. The Scripture tells us plainly in the Gospels that Jesus said, don't you know that the very hairs on your head are numbered? Now that's called intimacy. Now I've never taken the time out to count my hairs because it changes every day. My confession is I won't lose any more. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said, the Bible, Jesus said that He knows even when a sparrow falls to the ground. He's aware of that. All right? So we're talking about a Father. We're talking about a God that's extremely intimate and knows every detail of your life and my life. Not just for the sake of saying, I know everything about you. No, it's for the purpose of saying, I took the time out to know every little, how many cells are in your body, how many hairs are on your head, because I am an intimate God and I want to get intimate with you. I want to come down where you're at in the dirt, where you're at, and I want to get involved in the affairs of your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'll tell you, it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I made mention of this a couple of weeks ago. I was with the season, the way it is, Christmas season, a lot of people are shopping. Okay, I live by a mall. Now, I do my studying most of the time. I do my studying preparation. I just like to go to Barnes & Noble up there. There's a place I go up there, and there's a corner I can get into there and just get there and just spend hours there studying the Word of God, preparing. I love that, okay? But this time of the year, it's really, it can be really challenging. You have to make about 20 minutes to 30 minutes of loops trying to find someone that's going to leave. You can pull in their spot. I don't know if you've ever been there or done that before. So I knew what I was getting into when I went up there. And I said, Father, I'm going to ask you for two things right now. I'm going to ask you, first of all, for a close parking spot. Number two, I'm going to ask you for a seat in that place that has a plug next to it so I can plug my computer in so I can study. All right? It's just something I like to do, okay? Everybody's different, all right? And I said, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, amen? Well, no sooner or later, I got up to the mall there. It's only about 10 minutes from where I live. And I pull in there, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, make a left here. Now, I didn't hear it with these ears here, but I heard it in here. He said, make a left here. So I made a left there. Normally, I wouldn't go left there. He says, now get down here, make a right. And as soon as I pulled in this, as soon as I made this right and I turned in, a guy was backing out. It was the first spot. The first spot. Not handicapped. It was the first spot. And I pulled in there. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I get out of there and I walk in there, and it's pretty crowded in the Barnes & Noble, okay? As I'm getting in there, somebody's just leaving where the spot that I usually like to be, where there's a plug right there, okay? And I sat down there, and I pulled out my computer, and I started to go into town and studying, all right? Now, why did I say that? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, son, he said, not with these ears here, but inside where you hear him too. He said, son, I'm pleased that you asked me to do that for you. And I literally almost broke down there. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. When I sat there, I thought, oh, God, that you love me that much. And he goes, Keith, do you remember there's been a lot of times you never asked me for those things and you didn't get them? He says, but it pleases me when you come before me. It pleases me when you come and you ask me to do things for you. And he said this, he says, I long to do for my children things that they desire to do. I long to do that, but a lot of them just don't ask me. They just don't ask. Remember Jesus said, fear not, little flock. He said, it's your Father's pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. Remember that? Jesus is a lot different than we thought he has been, right? But I'll say this, the Lord is an intimate God. And I want to back up a little bit here because we're talking about walking in the peace of God. When you hear from heaven and you hear from him, when you got saved, when you accepted Jesus in your heart, the Spirit of God moved inside of you. I mean, he took up residence. Bam. You know, you're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost on the inside. Hallelujah. And if somebody lives in there, I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I had some roommates, okay? And when you become roommates with somebody, you get to know them a little bit, whether that's good or bad, all right? Even if you're in Bible school, right? Well, when the Lord moves on the inside of you and takes up residence on the inside of you, he's not just in there to hitch a ride. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen hitchhikers on the side of the road back in the day? Okay, he's not just hitching a ride because he has nothing else to do. Holy Ghost is a person, and he wants to live through you. He wants to think through you because everything that he will tell you to do is for your profit and for your benefit. The Lord will never instruct you to do something that's going to be a detriment to you or hurt you, ever. Whatever he tells you to do is for your personal benefit. Now, here's where I wanted to get to this point. Now, I like to, there's different gifts that people have. Every one of you in this room, you have giftings and you have talents that have been given to you by God Almighty. Amen? You've been endowed, you've heard that before, with certain rights and certain gifts and certain talents. Every single one of you in this room, every one of you, including the kids back there, God has put gifts and talents on the inside of each and every one of you. And they vary and they're different. We don't all have the same gifting. Now, if you read Romans chapter 12, and I'll just refer to it right now, there's people that have the gift of being hospitable, showing hospitality. How many of you know there's people that have that gift? He says there's also those that show mercy on people. There's also those that have the ministry of a giver. Now, every believer should give, but then there's people that stand in the office of a giver where they're able to draw supernaturally resources into there for the sake of the gospel. And then there's others that have the gift of encouragement, okay? Now, Barnabas, you know, he was one of the apostles, you know, that not one of the original 12, but, you know, in the book of Acts, and Paul the apostle referred to him as the son of consolation. And what does that mean? He was an encourager. And Barnabas was an encourager. Now, that's something that I believe that God's anointed me in, to not only be a pastor, but on one, even one-on-one with people, to be an encourager to people, okay? Because I know the power of what encouragement can do. Man, if you're discouraged and you're just, you know, you feel lower than a snake's belly, they used to say. That was when I was in Texas. They used that as, I said, what, lower than a snake's belly? That's pretty low, okay? I'll loosen up a little bit here, okay? But, you know, there are people that are just discouraged. They're down. They're downtrodden. And they've been beat up in life, you know. And sometimes it just takes an encouraging word that will lift that soul, that person, to give them a light and a hope that, you know, you can make it. And I tell you, a lot of people, even in this town, have been through a lot. Some of you in this room, you've been through some rough things in your life, you know. Well, the Lord wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to let you know that in his eyes, this is a light affliction. It's not a big deal. Now, there's times I've looked at things. I remember one time I went through something many years ago, 30-something years ago. maybe some of you heard this, maybe you didn't, but I got a letter from the IRS. This is back in 1984. 85, actually. And I don't know if I made a mistake on my taxes or something like that, but I got this letter from the IRS, you know, and had the big insignia on the front of the letterhead, you know, when it comes in. I thought, what is this all about? Someone said, well, if the devil can't scare you, the IRS will. Well, I got this letter, I was an assistant pastor in a church in Texas, in Killeen, Texas at the time. This is before we had kids and stuff like that, you know. And the essence of the letter was that I had made a mistake on my taxes and so forth, and miscalculated some things and so forth, and that I owed the government roughly $10,000. Now, folks, back in those days, my entire salary for the year was $12,000. So figure. Okay, almost a year's salary for me that I owed the government. Now, here's the thing. When they start tacking on what you owe them penalties, if you don't pay them, they keep adding interest to it, accruing interest to it. All right? Now, in the natural, I had no idea how I was going to overcome this deficit. Okay? To make a long story real short, I was driving down the road one day when I was working. I was trying to work at the church, but I always had that in the back of my mind, that care that was just trying to pressure me, you know? And I was in my little red Chevette. Now, Chevy used to make a car called a Chevette. You remember that? I bought a little red Chevette. It was a Fred Flintstone car. You know what I'm saying? You put your feet down and you go. But anyway, I was driving down, I think it was I-35, that ran through the part of Texas that I lived in. And the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. And it was the Lord. And the Lord said this. He said, son, if you saw this thing from my perspective, you wouldn't be upset at all. You wouldn't be upset at all. And I pulled the car over on the brim of the road, side of the road, and I stopped. You know, now I didn't hear it with these ears, but I'll tell you, I heard it. I mean, my hair heard it. You know what I'm saying? But inside me, I said, Lord, say that again. He said, son, if you saw this thing from my perspective, you wouldn't be upset at all. And I said, well, for the last couple of months, I sure have not seen him. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm having a conversation with him. I said, I sure haven't seen it from your perspective. I've seen it from my perspective. And all that produced was fear. I mean, day and night, the devil's taunt me with that thing, you know. And, well, fast forward about a few months from there, and we ended up coming back to our home state, Pennsylvania, where we started our first church. And we came back, and I had to give the care of that thing to the Lord. But I had to keep reminding myself, what did the Holy Spirit tell me? He said, if you saw it from my perspective, talking about that tax situation, he goes, you'd laugh about it. Wouldn't be any big deal. So, now to say that I adopted that mindset overnight, I would be lying. It took me some time to, and this is where we need to be patient with each other, because there's some things you get like that, okay? But then there's other things. It takes a little time, maybe some months, maybe a year, before you start getting rooted and grounded in some of these things, you know. And I finally said, Lord, I cast the care of this thing on you. About a year after he spoke that to me, I got another letter. Now I'm living back in Pennsylvania, and I got a letter from the IRS. And the IRS had wrote a letter to me, said that they had made some mistakes, and they had miscalculated, and that they actually owed me money. Now, it wasn't much, but it sure beats owing $10,000. Now, how many of you know the IRS can be wrong? How many of you know that? Yeah. They proved that out the last few years, right? Okay, they're not God, right? But see, the Lord, my point in saying this is the Lord knew something that I didn't know. And of course, he knows everything. He had a piece of information that I needed to know that would bring me peace and comfort when I was under a tremendous test of trial. And yet the Lord's up there, ha, 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 it's going to be all right. No need to worry, no need to fret, no need to be anxious. Because if you see it from my perspective, it's not going to look so bad. Well, needless to say, I was pretty excited after that all came through. But my point is saying all that to say this is that I could have had peace the very second the Lord spoke that to me. But it took me some time to put faith in what he was trying to tell me. Does that make sense? The Lord, on a daily basis, and here's what I do know. I like to encourage people, but you know, there's somebody called the Holy Spirit who wants to encourage people 24/7. The Holy Spirit is the greatest comforter, counselor, encourager that exists. There's no one that's as great as he is. And I'll go as far as to say this. There is no one more positive than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they haven't read Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. Nothing wrong with that book. He got that from the Lord, by the way. It's a good book, okay? But people think, yeah, well, just being positive, to be positive, you know. No, the Lord knows the outcome. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knows how to fix and get you out of situations that you feel like you're in this corner. And, you know, it's like the Israelites, you know, when they left Egypt, you know, and now the Lord supernaturally led them through the wilderness. Now he brought them to a point where their back's up against the wall. Behind them is the Red Sea. On the front of them is the mountains that are impassable. And the only entryway into there that they came into, the Egyptians are coming after them. So there, you would say their backs were up against the wall. The Bible says that it was impassable. They couldn't. There's no way they could get out of it. And they were panicking, they were frightened and fearful because they only saw what they saw with their eyes. But the Lord said to Moses, who was their leader, he says, what's that you have in your hand? Staff, piece of wood. He goes, well, I'm going to use that. And that's what he used in Egypt, right? He used that staff, that wooden piece, that stick. That's what God used to bring the plagues on Egypt, judgment on Egypt. And now, for the final judgment, he's going to split the Red Sea, and they're going to walk through on dry ground, and then the Egyptians are going to be so hard-headed that they're going to assume and they're going to pursue after you, And when I get in the middle there, bam. Now, on each side was a 40-foot wall of water. It was, that the Bible said, it was a wall of water on both sides. And the Lord made it dry ground. Now, it's interesting because that place, literally today, right now, that place of the Red Sea crossing, there's only one place that they could have crossed. And there's an underwater bridge, land bridge, right there. Because every place else at the Red Sea, you know, you got the Gulf of Suez on the one arm, and then you have the Gulf of Aqaba on the other arm. This is both, they call that the Red Sea. But when God split the Red Sea, he had already made an underground walkway flat that they could walk from this place to this place over in Saudi Arabia. Now, any place else, if he would have removed the water, there was, you know, 2,000-foot cliffs going down. So even if God removed the water, they couldn't have walked through. But God made an underwater bridge for them, amen, that they were able to walk across and then flooded the Egyptians, hallelujah. Don't you love reading about that, seeing that? Praise God. And God made a way, a supernatural way in the wilderness, drowned their enemies. And after they got through, what happened? They began to complain. Now, they had already seen the 10 plagues. They've already seen this take place in Egypt. And God, judgment was coming on all the gods of Egypt because all the judgments came on the things that they worshiped. They worshiped the Nile River. Okay, well, God turned the Nile River into blood. Okay? Cattle, same thing. Frogs, same thing. Now, you got to be pretty stupid if you're going to worship a cow or a frog. Right? The depravity of the human spirit. Now, when the Lord led them through the wilderness like that, it was supernatural. The Bible says that even for 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. They put those big business places out of business. Amen. For 40 years. Can you imagine having a pair of shoes for 40 years? And it looks just like it did the day you got it? Now, you know that's supernatural. That is supernatural. Now, it didn't stay like that because once God brought them into the promised land, that all changed, all right? But we see that God was a God, and they only knew Israel only knew Jehovah as God, but they didn't know him as Father. When Jesus came, he came to introduce the Father to us. And he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Amen? Well, that was they couldn't get that. They were just thinking, God, powerful God, and he is. But he's also our Father. When you see him, when you address him, that's why I like to address, Jesus said when you pray, he goes, pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. To the world, he's God, but to us, he's Father. That's more personal. Amen? That's why it's important to address when you're praying, say, Heavenly Father. There's something personal about that. Amen? Now, you know, I wasn't planning on saying all this, but I did anyway. Praise the Lord. I guess the Holy Spirit wanted to say it. But we're talking about walking in God's peace. And even if it looks like your back's up against the wall and, you know, this thing's happening, that thing's happening, and pressure's from coming from every direction at you, you know, you can still possess the peace of God if you listen to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I can't tell you how many times I've been through some rough places. I've been through some rough places in my life. Okay? But I can tell you this, that every single time, and I mean no matter how bad it looked, from the doctor's standpoint, from medical standpoint, from financial standpoint, every time when I would listen inside here to listen to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God would say, it's going to be all right. Trust me. Trust me. Are you getting this morning? He would always be pulling me. Trust me, Keith. Trust me. Trust. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. Don't lean to this thing up here. Paraphrasing. But he says, lean to your heart because your heart is smart and your heart knows things your head doesn't know. Glory to God. That's why we can rejoice all the time. Because we know the outcome. Amen. See, many years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I was at a Kenneth Copeland convention, actually, and had a great meeting that night, you know. And, I like hockey. The Pittsburgh Penguins were playing the Washington Capitals that night in Washington. I was at the meeting, okay? And I checked my phone, not while he was preaching, but afterwards. I said, they won. I thought, hallelujah. I got back to the hotel that night, you know. Now they're playing the game on television, but it was like a delayed. It was after the game was already over. Now, when I was watching the game, they were losing. 1-2, something like that. They were losing. But see, I already know the outcome. I knew that they came back and they overcame them and they won that game. Okay? That's the way it is with us. It may look like we're losing in the game of life. It may appear that we're losing in the game of life, but we already know the beginning from the end. We know the outcome. God says, you already won. See, that's what walking by faith means, is to walk by the Word of God. If you walk by the Word of God, you are going to come out shining every single time if you trust the Lord. If you trust the Word, just trust the Word of God. Well, every time that when Israel came out of that Red Sea experience, they had already seen the 10 plagues in Egypt, all right? Israel had experienced that. I mean, you know what's kind of interesting about that situation? In Psalm, I think it's the 105th chapter, I believe it is. Somebody might know better than I would, but the Bible says that God brought them forth with silver and with gold. And there was not one feeble or sick person among their tribes. Well, how many people were there, Brother Keith? Bible scholars tell there was over 2 million plus people that came up, 2 to 3 million people with men, women, and children, besides the livestock and all that, that came out of Egypt and marched through the wilderness. And the scripture tells us, now get this, there was not one sick or feeble or weak person among their tribes. Now I know you probably have too. Have you ever seen the Ten Commandments? Cecil B. DeMille. You ever see the Ten Commandments, the movie? Okay. I like the movie. However, when he shows people coming out of Egypt that night, he shows them coming out on stretchers and canes and lame. You know what I mean? That is not a clear picture. There's a lot of ad-lib to that. You know what I'm saying? That is not a clear picture. The Bible says when God brought them out of Egypt, which is a type of the world, he brought them forth healed and with silver and gold. So they had health and they had wealth, and he was bringing them into what he wanted, a promised land. Think about that. Now, that was it. Israel was God's servants. We are God's sons. Does he love his sons more than his servants? Of course he does. Amen. And let me tell you something. Before Jesus comes back, and I believe we will see the catching of the way of the church. We will see. We will be part of the rapture. I believe that. That I'll tell you what, there's going to come a place where sickness and disease is going to melt like a snowball in the August sun. Amen. It has no dominion, has no authority over us in the name of Jesus. I don't care if it's a whatever it is. It's got to bow its knee. And not only that, he gave them so much silver. How do you think they got the gold for the golden calf? Where did it come from? Did it come out of the sky? No, it came from Egypt. Truckloads of gold and silver and precious metals. How do you think they got all the materials for the tabernacle? Well, they got that from Egypt. All the fine linen, all the goodies, okay? And they plundered Egypt. And see, God has his way of getting things into our hands. They didn't work for it. God just gave it to them. Amen? Well, I'll wrap this up here. We're talking about walking in the peace of God. After they saw the 10 plagues, you would have thought, that's going to establish a heart of belief, right? Not once, not twice, 10 times, okay? And we're going somewhere with this. And then finally, the biggest thing was they split the Red Sea. That was the greatest of all those miracles. Split the Red Sea. Come on. You know, and a 40-foot wall of water on both sides. You could probably see sharks and fish right over in there. You know what I mean? Like SeaWorld, just looking at it right there. You know? And then he gets over there, and now the Lord says, all right, now put your rod down, and he let it down, and all. And the Egyptians were just stupid enough to chase after them. You know, they were just so hard-headed, Pharaoh and his whole army. Not one of them survived. Not one of them survived. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know, there's a guy named Ron Wyatt that actually discovered over there. You know, you can actually Google him. But he let the Bible be his archaeological map. Okay? And you know, strewn across the whole, Red Sea, that part of the Red Sea I was talking about, are chariots, wheels, horses, skeletons, all just in that one area where they crossed over. And the coral has preserved it. Okay? And it goes, the kind of chariot wheels and the chariot cabs, horse skeletons, all under the... Oh, now, the world doesn't want you to see that. Okay? But they saw the hand of God. Only to the very next day, after they came through, the very next day, they began to get thirsty. Okay? How to walk in the peace of God. You trust Him each step of the way. Each step of the way. And a lot of times what happened, the reason that we lose our peace, now hear me, stay with me here. The reason that we lose our peace sometimes is we look too far ahead. Oh, the reason that we lose our peace a lot of times, we're looking too far down the road, like, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? What if this doesn't happen? What if they make this choice? And boy, how's that going to affect me? And we're looking too far down the future. When the Lord says, walk by faith. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, folks, I can't leap a mile. Can you? But I can walk a mile. Because a mile is made up of steps. But if I tried to leap it, I'd be highly frustrated. I'm going to land on my face. Try to be Superman. Amen. But I can walk it. How many of you could walk it? We are to take steps of faith and trust God daily. And that's, instead of looking at the long term, the long range picture, where you're, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen in my life? You know, if you just take steps of trust every day, you trust God every day, you trust Him, you're taking a little step, then when you get to that place, you'll know what to do. You'll have the wisdom. Amen. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. I know which direction we're going. But let me tell you something. My trust is in the Lord. Because I've walked with Him for 35 years now. Okay? And I've seen Him come through for me so many times when I didn't know how He was going to come through for me in every respect. But I knew enough to say, Lord, I have to trust You. I can't trust in myself. Can't trust in this thing and that thing. I'm going to trust You. And somehow He always brings you through. The worst place that you can ever be in your life as a Christian is to cast your trust away and start trusting in man, trusting in things, and trusting in your resources, and you're not trusting God. That's a dangerous place to be in. But the safest place, listen to me, the safest place that you can ever be in is you get up every day and you say, Father, I trust You today. I trust You with my body. I trust You with my finances. I trust You with my family members. I trust You with my future spouse. I trust You with my spouse. Right? I trust You with my children. I trust You, Lord. And by you saying that, like the Bible says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. In Psalm 91. Man, I feel the anointing today. Glory to God. And the Lord was wanting the children of Israel to take steps of trust, but they didn't do that. Because now they're crying out and they're complaining and they're murmuring about, There's no water. Have you brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness because there's no graves in Egypt? Well, of course not. A first grader could understand that. I'll tell you one thing I know. Children have faith. Kids have faith. Amen. There's been some times in our lives, like, honey, what are we going to do? And sometimes the most marvelous things will come. When my kids were small, or even to this day, things will come out of their mouth. They're like, that was the wisdom of God right there. Well, Dad, we're just going to trust God, like we always have. Oh, yeah, that's right. Amen? And see, when they were facing that water situation, the Lord wasn't trying to make it tough on them and, you know, die of thirst out there in the wilderness. Of course not. Of course not. But he was looking for them to put their faith and their trust. When it looked like there was no provision there, he was looking for the Israelites to say, I know what he did in Egypt. I saw this, I saw that, I saw the 10 plagues, the Red Sea split. Of course, he wants us to trust us for water now. All right, Lord, where's the water? That's the way it should have operated. Okay? But the waters of Mar, which meant bitter waters. Okay? And they thought, well, we found it. Here's a water pool. And they taste it. Oh, we can't drink this. You can't drink it. And you know that place is still there to this day? And it's bitter waters, okay? And you can't drink it. But the Lord showed something to Moses. He said, put that tree, cut that little branch down, throw it in the water. And when he threw the branch in the water, the bitter waters were made sweet instantly. Now they can suck down all the water they want. Get big straws, man, you know? Cattle and everything else, you know what I mean? And that tree, he said, he showed him a tree. Well, Jesus was nailed to what? A tree. And the bitter places in life can be made sweet because of the cross. Amen. When we look to him and we trust him every step of the way. Amen. You know, if you've had bad news come down the pike about your job or your future job or anything like that, you know, this is nothing more than an opportunity to put trust in the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've... I'll close with this story here because we're out of time. But I don't know if you've ever heard R.W. Shambach before. Anybody hear R.W. Shambach? You know, he's in heaven now, but a powerful man of God. And I got a hold of him as a young Christian and heard him on the radio, powerful man of God. But, you know, he would always open up his program. You know, the voice of power is on the air. You know, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Anybody ever remember that? Okay, you remember that. All right. This might be new territory for some of you. And he would say that every day, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And I always used to think, that's a pretty cool phrase, but where'd it come from? Well, one day he explained it. I saw him on an interview, actually a television interview. And he says, I'll tell you where I got that story from. You know, he was just a no-nonsense preacher. He's actually from this area. Yes, you know, Elwood City, in fact. And but God used him mightily powerful, you know. And he says, one day he said, there was a guy that came to me and he'd been listening to his broadcast on the radio, you know. Back in those days, it was just simply radio, you know. And he said, he was given up to die. He had a terminal disease, this gentleman. He was in the hospital, in his hospital bed. And he said the priest, he was Catholic, the priest came in to give him his last rites. In other words, that meant within a few hours, you're out of here. Okay? Now, he said the priest came in, he had his black garb on with a white collar. You know, everything was black. You know, he was Catholic. Gave him his last rites. Sun will be over just a few hours, basically, you know. He said the priest walked out, and he said then another priest walked through the wall, and he had white on. Guess who that was? It was Jesus. Jesus walked through the wall, and he had white glistening clothing on. And the Lord looked at him in his hospital bed Now, this is shocking him. He'd never seen this before, never heard of this before. And the Lord looked at him and smiled and kind of laughed. He said, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And he told Jesus, told him, he goes, go get a New Testament and read the Gospel of John. Okay? And he disappeared. Jesus disappeared. Now that grabbed your attention, wouldn't it? Jesus, the high priest, steps through the wall. See, he didn't have to use the door. He can just walk through the wall. Amen? He said, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Go get your Bible and start reading it. So he did. And he found out that Jesus was a healer in the New Testament. And then, of course, the Lord connected him with some other people in that process. But the end result was he got divinely healed, where the medical field came in and said, you know, you have a few hours, basically a day to live. You know, here comes the priest. He's given him his last rites. You know, no disrespect for the priest, but they're not final authority. But Jesus comes in, and in the midst of that turmoil and that mess and that confusion and no peace, he says, you don't have any problems. Now, that sounds pretty, it almost sounds kind of rude, doesn't it? Someone's on their deathbed and you said, you don't have any problems. But if you see it from heaven's perspective, it doesn't look so bad. That problem you're dealing with even right now is nothing for the Lord to take care of that thing and fix that thing. Amen. There's nothing impossible to him. With God, nothing is impossible. But the Bible says, to him that believeth, all things are possible. Okay? And I wanted to leave this with you here today. I just feel it in my spirit, my bones, glory to God. That the way that we can operate in God's peace is a daily trust with the Lord. And like the psalmist says, in you I'll put my trust. That's one of the best things you can say when you wake up in the morning or when you lie down at night and you just say, Lord, I'm trusting you today. I'm trusting you with my family. I'm trusting you with this situation that I'm dealing with. Could be anything. And by you saying that, by you saying, Lord, I trust you, I trust you, that gives the Lord the permission to now step in and say, let's do something about this. Okay? Let's do something about this. Remember, the Lord is an intimate God. Amen? Now, I have some people that I've known through the years, minister friends of mine, and, you know, that I cherish, that are precious to me. I mean, I just love them so much. And I love to get around them because I get lifted. Well, actually, the Lord through them lifts me because they encourage me. Amen? And I'll tell you that nobody, I trust today that my voice is being used as a voice of encouragement to you, to lift you up. No matter what you're facing, I don't care if it's been there for a long time. Maybe it has. Maybe it's been there a couple of years. Some 5 years. But if you'll shift, they call it a paradigm shift. If you shift the way you think and you say, okay, Lord, today, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. All right? Got that bill sitting on your desk or a couple of bills or a stack of bills. Lord, I'm going to trust you with that right now. You have a wayward son or a daughter, okay, that's not walking with Christ right now. Trust God for them. Trust God to reach them. That's the safest haven that you could be in, is when you're trusting God. Amen? Amen? And I look at a miracle right here. I look at Walter and Chris and what Walter has been through. But yet, and as much as the devil has tried to shake their faith, at the end of the day, when I get back and I talk to them, you know what's coming out of their mouth? And they might feel the fear. They might feel the shaking in the natural. But yet inside, and it comes out of their mouth, we're trusting you, Lord. Yes. Am I right? And I'll tell you, the Lord's pleased with that. And the Lord wants to encourage both of you today. Okay? Because He's already led you and he's brought you to a certain place, not to cut you off, but to lead you into a better place, a stronger place, a healthier place, and it has only just begun. Okay? So your daily confidence and your daily trusting, saying, Lord, I trust you, even though I might not feel like it, even though I got, you know, feelings coming against you. But yet, inside you're like, Lord, I grit your teeth and you say, I trust you. And I'll tell you what, a few months from now, 6 months from now, you're going to look back and you're going to say, my God, look at what he's done for me. Look at what he did for me. He sustained me. He kept me. He healed me. He delivered me. And my future is bright. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Say this after me. Say, Lord, I put my trust. I put my trust in you and you alone. Help me. Strengthen me. Quicken me this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we had a good message. I kicked my water over up here. You know what I mean? Praise God. Well, you know, I feel satisfied in my spirit that I gave out today what I was supposed to give out. Amen. Let's just take, as we leave here this morning, let's take, what a way to launch ourselves into the new year that we're gonna cross over into 2017 with not the same mindset. We're gonna have a victory mindset. Oh, praise the Lord. God has some tremendous, awesome things prepared for everybody in this body, every person here. And he knows how to get us to that place. Let's stand up. Can turn that up, Kelly. He touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Just let him do that today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, Father God, we just receive. We receive today your mighty touch, Lord, in our souls, in our spirits. And we praise you, Father God. Orchestrate, Lord, this week. Cause us to be at the right place at the right time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Boy, the Lord loves us, doesn't he? He loves us so much.